Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
Wait for Rick Ross.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Good call. Radio 101 right there. Black and Abdallah, Carmen along with the guys. We're having a great time today in for Waddle and Sylvie. Back to normal tomorrow, and spring trading will be over. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Are we going to give out grades? Like, you guys were doing
that
at
night. Yeah,
let's
do it. No, Chris has been doing it. Chris got to work two night shows.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
We'll do it at the end of our show here. So, like, around 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll do that. So we still have time to mess this up. We'll have to grade ourselves.
We've had a strong show, boys. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much.
I know the categories because I've listened to the show. Yes, I have.
I've changed them because I can't remember them from week to week.
Okay. Well, one of them is listener engagement.
Sure.
Overall
puns
enjoyment.
Puns today. Especially with Tyler's situation, his first wedding.
Well, just wait until what we do in this next segment.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. Well. Like, there are a few things that are easier to get calls to just say, what about steroids in baseball? And people will just call. It's easy. Pete Rose, people will just call.
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Full phone lines. July. It's the All-Star break. Should Pete Rose be there?
Is that amazing? Pete Rose, all these years later.
So it was listenability. It was what general listening, like what a chemistry.
Yeah.
Chemistry is one, yes.
Listenability, like whether I liked listening to it.
Your personal enjoyment.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. And caller engagement.
Mm-hmm. Fan engagement.
Okay, and then what was the other one? There was one more, I thought.
Sports conversation.
Oh, sports conversation. We've had good sports combo.
And creativity.
Yeah. Creativity. I feel like we're very creative. We ordered Portillo's.
That's not creative.
Yes, it is.
It's what we did with it.
That's
the point.
On the
air.
Yeah.
That was the creative part.
Yeah, I chewed into a microphone for 10 minutes.
I know. Yeah. People are like, really?
Talk about listener engagement.
Into the microphone.
It's ASMR. The wave. It's all the TikToks.
Listen.
ASMR.
We'll grab a few more of these Bulls calls, too. People still want to talk about Zach, what he's going to do, what would be best for the Bulls. Connor McKnight joins us in 30. He'll be up at the pregame show for White Sox and Red Sox game 2 on the South Side at 6:30, but we'll talk to Connor in 30 minutes. And then I wasn't even aware of it. These guys alerted me to it. I was like, oh my gosh, you're kidding. It was on this day back in 1983 that there was probably a pretty significant White Sox game that day because that 83 team was like...
In May?
That's true. It's May. Yeah, probably not.
The significant dates would be later in the season, right?
It was the first team I really started to like understand and enjoy, even though at the time I was more of a Cub fan. But like, I remember being old enough to start processing like what it meant to cheer for your hometown team or teams. And like, I started recognizing player names, you know, and that team went to the playoffs that year. But anyway, I digress. It was on this day in 83 that Return of the Jedi was released.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. I am the oldest one in this crew out of all of us. Black and Abdallah aren't too far behind me. Let's not make any mistake.
Yeah, we're washed. We're old.
The guys on the other side of the glass, you can forget about it. I mean, Tyler and Charlie. Tyler's 25. Charlie Bevins is like 22. How old are you, Charlie?
I turn 23 tomorrow.
Jesus. Oh, happy birthday.
And I hate you.
Dude, happy birthday. 23.
Jordan.
So I'm 45. So I'm the only one who can remember going to see this in the theater. I was 6 and a half.
Okay.
I do believe this is the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. That my parents took me. And I was super excited because I had, you know, been old enough at that point to watch the first two Star Wars, and I loved them as a kid. And I remember my parents taking me and my younger brother, or my youngest brother was way too young. He was just 2 years old at the time. So I know he wasn't with us. It was my mom and dad, me and my brother Louie, and I'll never forget seeing it in the theater for the first time. I love Jedi, probably because of that. The opening 35 minutes of Jedi, like, that was it. I was hooked for life.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, he stands out on the edge of the plank and, you know, he signals R2 and he goes up in the air.
No spoilers.
And R2 shoots out the lightsaber to Luke and he grabs it. I mean, that was it. As a 6 and a half year old, my was set. I was in heaven, and I'll never forget that experience. seeing that in the theater.
Now, Carmen, paint the picture. Take us back to 1983, going to a movie theater. Because I'm sure like the entire experience is vastly different than what it is today.
It cost 25 cents.
It was a lot cheaper. I mean, honestly, it was probably no more than a buck and a quarter back then. $1.50 to go see a movie. I mean, what did I know? At that point, I wasn't paying, but I'm guessing when I was a teenager.
It was expensive. Yeah.
When I was a teenager,
it was $4.
About $3 when I was. So for you guys, four or five bucks.
$4 or $5. Yeah,
it was about $3. So I'm guessing in '83, it was like $1.25 to go to the movie. The theaters were different. You didn't have Dolby Surround. You had, you know, you literally stuck to the chair and the floor. I mean, the floor, they looked dirty. You know, when you're a kid, it doesn't really matter. It gives me the heaves now a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they were, you know, it was, you could smell the popcorn kind of like you can today. They were small. They were cramped.
Was it packed?
The sound was, yes.
Yeah.
I do remember.
Oh, yeah. For the third one, of course.
For the third one. And it was like, it was a pretty big deal.
People dressed up?
I don't remember that, but I'm going to say no. If you ask my parents, they might remember. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no, that wasn't a thing yet.
Okay.
Well, I feel like the dressing up for Star Wars happened when the first trilogy came out, late 90s, early 2000s.
Then the second three, which is really the first three.
The prequel movies.
The prequel movies. I could be wrong, but like I don't remember walking into Jedi. Now, again, I was six, but I don't remember walking in and seeing people dressed as Chewbacca and Stormtroopers and Darth Vader. I don't recall that. People who are a little bit older maybe remember it, but I don't recall that, no.
I feel like, loosely, I've seen black and white photos from the late 70s of people lined up to see the original Star Wars
Maybe you're right, Chris. I could be
wrong. I wasn't there, though, so
I feel like white.
I've seen photos. So here's for those Star Wars fans. I don't want the Star Wars people to come after us. Just so we're all on the same page.
Damn hobbits.
May 25th is actually a huge day in Star Wars lore because the original Star Wars came out 6 years prior on May 25th.
Okay.
So the Jedi came out in 83 on May 25th. The original, A New Hope, came out 6 years before then on May 25th as well. So we're talking about this because Carmen actually got to go see it. I didn't see these movies in the theater. You didn't see these movies in the theater.
No. When they re-released them, I did.
Yeah, the re-release, but they're great. Jedi's great.
It's great, right?
Yeah. And it caps off a trilogy, which is arguably one of the best trilogies in movie history.
Yes.
Agreed, yeah.
Because, you know, like, here's the thing. We can talk about great movie trilogies, but most times we'll say, but that one movie sucked of the three.
Well, like
Back to the Future, the third one stunk.
Stunk.
Oh,
agreed.
Come on.
And I love the first. No, stunk. It stunk. He's right. It was awful. And I love the first two.
The Dark Knight. The first Batman Begins stinks.
Yeah, Batman Begins.
Batman Begins stinks.
I disagree with you guys.
I don't like Batman Begins. No. I don't need Ra's al Ghul and all that.
Get out of here.
I'm a little surprised.
I know the story of Batman. Who doesn't know the story of Batman at this point?
We all know the story of Batman.
That origin story was pretty good, you guys. I think you're selling that one short. I would disagree with you on that. Godfather 3 is no good.
Garbage.
Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Excellent.
Garbage.
Godfather 3.
Garbage.
And so we were like going around the room. We were talking about all this. Tyler, you've seen Star Wars films, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tyler's, he knows what's going on. Charlie, have you seen Star Wars films?
I have not.
None of them?
Nope, not one.
Like, not a one?
I remember being at a birthday. Maybe I was six, and then... And the giant monster in the pit was eating people.
Yeah, that's from Jedi.
Yeah, that's...
Now here, let's try to piss some people off here.
Yeah. Right? All right. I'm screening calls, Charlie, this is going to be fun for me.
Have you seen Spaceballs?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I was going to say, if he had not seen Star Wars...
No, Charlie told us before the show his only context for Star Wars is the Family Guy episodes.
Which is hilarious.
Which is funny because he watched the entire thing with no context.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
They're great. Tyler, you haven't seen Spaceballs, have you?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Right,
yeah, I'm shocked. A long time ago.
So this is what we need
help
with.
They showed it at Syracuse.
We need people to call and to help Charlie out and explain to Charlie, like he's five, what Star Wars is.
Like, I generally know it's like the Empire and people are mad at them.
It's about it's all about incest.
It's just a big allegory to what incest. You know, what happens on this. Honestly, it's just I don't know if it's an allegory. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. It probably is. It's republics and empires and totalitarian
it's
rule.
It's good and evil, man.
And it's good and evil, and you know, right? That's it.
Yeah,
it's
Palpatine, not a chill dude. Like I got. I think I got like the basics.
312-332-3776. Can you explain Star Wars, the original series, the original trilogy?
The first three.
Yeah. Don't mention Jar Jar.
Original trilogy. Can you explain it to Charlie? He's never seen it.
Do you guys know, I will tell you this, like when Jedi did come out, like the Ewok thing, I mean, that was every gift we got at Christmas was like the Ewok village and Ewok, it's all we wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, the, I can't remember the name of the riders, but what were they had a specific name. When they're riding around an Endor, like, oh, it's all we got for Christmas. Mm-hmm. The only thing
those
I wanted.
Those things are so cool.
They're so cool. And I swear I've seen Return of the Jedi. It's got to be 200 times in my life.
I think my three favorite trilogies are, two of them are when I was a kid. Teenage Mutant Turtles, the trilogy there.
They did a trilogy of Teenage
Mutant Ninja Turtles? Yeah, because it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then it was Secret of the Ooze, and then it was Turtles Go Back in Time.
I don't remember that.
And then they go back to, I don't remember where they go back to.
Do
they go back to Japan?
They're
wearing like the traditional battle gear. Japanese battle gear.
Like ninjas.
Samurai?
Samurai ninjas. Yeah.
I remember having those turtles. Yeah.
Jurassic Park, obviously.
But the third one kind of stunk there, too.
No, it didn't, because they came back in the third one.
It's
the people, because What's-His-Face came back. It didn't. That's biased. And then the three original Screams are great.
Yes, I would agree.
The three original Screams are awesome.
Those are pretty good.
The new one's garbage. I agree with you. I saw part of it on the plane and turned it off.
Oh, boy.
It was garbage.
Garm, if you sit down to watch the new Scream,
new one? Really?
It is atrocious. It is a movie that they made for Gen Z, but it's the snarky, jerky, like, we know everything, but here we have to explain to you old stuff, but really, it's for us thing.
Really?
That's the plot.
Yeah.
The plot of the movie is, it's so stupid.
I have not seen it. The best trilogies, because you guys are right, there's normally one that stinks.
So
the original Star Wars trilogy is definitely, I think, number one all time. I don't know if you can... Can you start lopping movies off of a huge franchise and just say, well, the first three were good?
Well, yeah, because here's the... Indiana Jones.
The Rockies were great.
Well, okay.
Or,
that,
or Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, you
Raiders
can do that,
Temple
too.
Raiders Temple in Last Crusade.
Phenomenal.
Those are great.
Because that's how I feel about Scream, that it's there's three of them, and then they're like, guess what? In 15 years, we'll make some more. Same with Indiana Jones. They made all of them, and then they're like, hey, guess what? Here's Shia LaBeouf, and he survives a nuclear explosion in a refrigerator.
So we can lop those off?
Yeah, those don't count.
Lop them off.
Then the Raiders trilogy, the first three Rockies,
and the original
Star Wars are probably the three best trilogies of all time. Because Rocky 1, 2, and 3 were all pretty good, especially 1 and 3.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal.
Controversial take. I think all three diehards are fantastic. The original three. I like number 2, so.
I also like all three diehards.
Yeah.
I also think 1 and 3 were the two better ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands down. But Die Hard 2 still has good moments.
Bill Simmons did on, because I really like the rewatchables. They did Die Hard 2 a few months back.
Oh, really? I got to check that out.
It's great. And he goes, one thing that really, could they do a segment called, like, What Hasn't Aged Well? And he's like, blowing up an entire 747 of people? Did we really do that?
Yeah.
As a threat? Just blew up an entire airplane of people. Like, I don't
see,
think
we
get away with that today.
We're for real. This is for real.
A hilarious take. I'm like, that's true. We just sort of sat in the theater and watched them blow up an entire plane of people. We're like, oh, okay, so they're not messing around.
It's not a movie trilogy, but would you guys consider, like, the Breaking Bad universe? Because it's Saul, Breaking Bad, and then El Camino. Yeah. Is that stretching it a little bit?
Oh, I forgot my favorite one, and I watch it every time it's on TV, and it's on TV all the time.
How can it be your favorite if you
usually
forgot
because
it?
I just remembered it. It's Rush Hour. I love the Rush Hour movies so much. They're always on TV when I'm like kind of drunk,
terrible.
And I come home like, well, guess I'm staying up till 2 a.m.
Absolutely terrible.
No, they're so good.
Dan's gonna explain Star Wars.
All right, let's hear this, Dan.
The Southwest Side. Go ahead, Dan. Explain it.
All right, so this is limited to the Star Wars trilogy because, Carmen, you and I would agree that Natalie Portman in some of those Star Wars, oh, my.
Oh, I mean, I love her, but I mean, it's the Christian, what was the kid's name who played Anakin, the actor? It's just awful. I mean, it's just, it's an.
Oh, Hayden Christensen. Yeah.
They were an abomination, Dan. So just talk about 4, 5, and 6. You're right.
Yeah, so I was looking at Daisy Duke and Natalie Portman. I don't know who the other guys are. So Star Wars trilogy, very easy to summarize. Classic good versus evil, but you get furry animals that you've never seen, and you get lasers and pew, pew, whom, whom, whom.
Dan, that was an amazingly succinct.
That's a good start. Yeah, I love that.
He's doing lightsaber sound effect. And we used to do that when we were kids, and we had the lightsaber.
Nick on Twitter says the first three Lethal Weapons.
Boy, by the third one, ugh. pretty bad. That was the Jet Li one. Was that the third one?
Not for me.
Jet Li.
They're not for me.
Jeff's in Streamwood. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey guys, how are we doing today?
Great, buddy.
We're good, man. What's up?
So, a couple of things on Star Wars. George Lucas was heavily influenced by a guy named Joseph Campbell, and he was a philosopher. And his whole thing was, you were writing about archetypes. We're telling the same story over and over and over again in different ways. So the archetypes are, if you look at Star Wars, are the princess, the pirate, and the wizard.
Right.
So you can kind of boil it down to that. Also interesting, on Return of the Jedi, the Steadicam was invented for that movie for the speeder bike scenes in the Redwood Forest in Northern California.
Wow.
That was the first use of them.
You got a lot of good info
there,
Jeff.
Awesome.
I like it. And that, and what were those things called again? The speeder bikes. The speeder bikes.
They just filmed it. And they had no way to make the camera steady, so the guys at ILM created, they had to wear the big body case thing on
That's
with
awesome.
The with the arm came off of the center of it, but they had to be custom made for each operator.
That's awesome.
Because the Steadicam has, of course, become something much, much more commercial and widespread, but that was the first use of the Steadicam.
I say this with the utmost respect. You are a huge nerd, and I love it.
That's
so
great.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Button for your mother to pick you up
you
after the convention.
Nerd.
That was phenomenal.
All I can think about is trying to...
Jeff gave you such a great explanation.
It was awesome.
He's right. Like Jedi, he's walking the plank. That's it. Walk the plank. You're going in. And then R2 gives him the lightsaber and saves the day. And Boba Fett, you know, and Han finally starts to see again after being unfrozen from carbonite. Come on, Charlie. You don't know any of this?
Right, so virgins.
And I missed all of it because we just got $1 million.
Well, keep screening the calls. We'll keep explaining.
Can you explain to Charlie
what Star Wars is all about? That's what we're doing.
Let's go to Marty on the South Side. What's up, Marty?
Hi, it's Marty on the South Side. I just wanted to give my trilogy. I would have said, Bad Boys. You know, 1, 2, and 3. Everybody likes Bad Boys.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I just watched Bad Boys 2 again.
Yeah,
it's so good.
All right, we'll take it, Marty. We'll take
Bad Boys 3, they're a little...
First one's awesome.
Martin Lawrence is a little chunky. Yeah.
1 and 2 are legit.
1 and 2 are great.
Agreed.
Really good.
Like, 3's not bad.
You know what else I'll give you guys? 3's kind of bad. 1 and 2 are great.
Yeah.
I'll give you another one. And again, 3, it's starting to get like, might be a little too much, but the first two are incredible. And it's, why am I blanking on it?
Hangover?
No, Keanu.
The Matrix?
Not the Matrix.
Speed.
John Wick movies
are friggin' awesome.
The new ones are going to be really good.
See, I wonder, like, are they doing too much now?
I don't care. I love it. No, keep doing it.
The John Wick movies are great. Let's go.
They're like Fast and Furious. Just keep making them. I'll keep watching. There's another good one. Yeah.
Matt is in West Dundee. Matt, what's your recommendation for great trilogies?
Well, I think the one that you're really missing, while I will say that I think Star Wars probably is the best, the original three Star Wars, the one you guys haven't mentioned is The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
Matt,
that's fair.
Matt, with all due respect, we weren't missing it.
It's not my cup of tea, Matt, but I think, like, but Matt's probably right. I mean, in they were so...
Sorry, Matt.
You just crushed his soul, man.
You could hear it. I'm sorry, Matt.
Matt wants to go for a long walk in the
really
Shire.
A really long walk, man.
He wants nine hours of little hobbits walking through the Shire.
See, that was my first encounter with people dressing up for movies.
The Shire.
Was when I went to go see a midnight showing of the first Lord of the Rings, and I was like, why are people...
Why are they dressed up like Bilbo Baggins? Matt, listen, we... Not our cup of tea, but the last one won Best Picture, didn't it?
No, it did. Look,
yeah,
they're very well made.
Yeah,
like, they spent a lot of money on them. They look cool. They're awesome. It is just not for me.
A lot of walking, man.
Corey's got a good one. See, we got more calls now on just the great trilogies. Corey, I forgot about this one. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, great show, you guys.
Thanks,
man. Bourne Supremacy Trilogy.
Yes. Oh, those are good. Yeah.
Excellent call, Corey.
Bournes are good.
All three Bournes are terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. I even like the one that Jeremy Renner did. Yeah, but like the three Matt Damon Bourne movies are great.
To be fair, though, I can't tell the difference between any one of the three.
Like, I know the difference between one and two or three.
But
no.
I can't tell you moments from any of them that stand out.
Like, if it just pops on, I'm always like, wait, which one is this?
Like, those are the most generic movies possible, but they're like, in their own special way, they're good.
Yeah.
But at no point do they stand out at all, except like, oh, they're the Matt Damon. Like,
he was just so good in that.
Oh, let me give you an awful one. Horrible one. And they shouldn't have made two more because the first one was perfect, is The Hangover.
Yeah, agreed.
They should not have made two more of those.
They really shouldn't.
The two that follow are the same. It's the same exact movie.
It's all the Austin Powers things. It's just the same jokes.
Same movie.
Yeah. Joe on 294. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I got two for you. One's the Terminator trilogies. They're all pretty good, I think.
I don't like the third one, but the first two are phenomenal.
The first two are phenomenal. They're two, like, the best. Yeah. But and then the Friday movies, all the Friday movies are pretty classics. And the one thing with the Turtles one, I just had to disagree with Abdallah on the last Turtles movie because that was probably the worst one.
Yeah, of course it was. It was fine,
I mean,
though.
They're all guys in suits, and I mean, we know that, but they're all done really well for being done back in the day.
I
appreciate it. And then the one cool thing, I don't know if you guys knew about it, the guy in the second one that drives the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
He plays one of the Turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. Really? I knew that. Yes, he does. Yeah, he's in his suit.
He does the test.
Joey,
right?
Thanks.
With the they throw the
Smoke bomb, and he's in there, and he
pulls off all the bells.
Yeah,
he's one of the Turtles.
Yeah. You guys are doing a deep dive on Turtles.
I love the Turtles movies.
If you want to talk 90s pop culture, we're here for you.
Like, with you getting all the stuff for Christmas and birthdays and stuff, of all the Ewok and all that kind of stuff, I had all Turtles. All Turtles stuff.
Most people will tell you that Godfather 2 is the rare exception where the second movie is better than the first. Truly, Terminator 2 is the greatest second movie ever.
It is.
It's greatest.
Yeah, and it's still,
T2 is so good.
You can watch it now and be like, that holds up. Like, well, the special effects hold up. Everything holds up.
At the time, the special effects were so ahead of its time, but they filmed enough of the movie with real materials that it doesn't look like it was a film that was shot back in, what, 93, 94?
92, probably.
92,
Very true. It is an all-time epic movie. T2 is so good. We'll try to sneak in some more of your calls. Oh, we got time, so we can. Yeah. We're going to talk a little White Sox baseball with Connor. What the hell happened last night? And how did I bounce back tonight if they get this game
in
game
two?
He'll want to talk about the movies. I know Connor.
Tomorrow we got him McKnight at the movies.
He heard us talking about Top Gun last night. He'll want to address that. I know that. So.
We'll get his thoughts on the greatest trilogies, and we'll talk about what the hell went wrong last night on the South Side when Connor joins us next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Scrolling through Twitter, I think we've done a good job, and the listeners have done a good job of nailing all like the important trilogies. Somebody said the Spider-Man, the first three Spider-Man ones with Tobey Maguire, but that third one kind of stunk. But the first two were really good.
Was the third one where he's like dancing on the street in all black and he has the hair over his eyes?
The first two were good.
Is that the one where Spawn?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. The first one was Willem Dafoe was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then what's his name? That actor, I blank on his name all the time, but you know him when you see him. He played Doc Ock. He was awesome. Like those first
they
two
came
were
back
really good.
In the new one, didn't they?
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina.
Did, yeah, in the most recent one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They were really good.
The first Star Wars, I mean, the first Spider-Man, that was like the first of the comic book
that was the first one.
Characters coming back, right?
Agreed.
Was it Iron Man first?
No, it was Spider-Man.
It feels like Spider-Man. First.
Like circa 2000.
Yeah.
It started the craze. I mean, it did. It made Marvel go nuts. And it's like, you know, I mean, they hadn't been making Batman movies, like, but there wasn't. They made Batman in the late 80s. Burton's Batman was good. But Spider-Man was, I think, kicked off this phenomenon that Chris is talking about.
Blade.
The success of... Because I bet if you go back and look... I love Blade. If you go back and look, that Spider-Man movie... I mean, that thing had to make like $300,000 or $500,000.
Speaking of nerds, Connor McKnight joins us. He's brought to you by HawkAuto.com.
Nerd.
Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big!
Excellent. What up, Connor?
Hello, boys. Now, the question is, are we talking nerdery and baseball because I'm here, or did I appear because you're talking nerdery and baseball? That doesn't matter so much. While Sam Raimi's 2002 masterpiece, Spider-Man, featuring Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst, certainly did kick off the superhero phase, things were already well in play with 1999's Blade, Wesley Snipes, and, of course, who could forget an absolutely moving turn by Stephen Dorff in the villain's Hawkins role here. Phenomenal. Dwarf would later go on to star in literally anything you asked him to act in for money afterward, especially electronic cigarette commercials, which I think spurred a nation into avoiding any kind of cancer mitigation efforts.
Right.
Anyway, as we move through the early 2000s through more of the superhero phase, let's not forget the Hugh Jackman-led trilogy in the X-Men era.
While this was
separate from the MCU, Sony had the rights for both Spider-Man and the X-Men characters. So while we have this brilliant MCU universe and Robert Downey Jr.'s casting as Iron Man himself, a guy who had battled substances and gotten through most of the public hating him in the 80s, that's talking about Iron Man, not Robert Downey Jr., believe it or not. The penned character by Kirby was a very hated character. And Stan Lee actually set out to make Iron Man one of the most hated characters. Let's see if we can make a superhero everybody hates. And then put him in comics. And thus, we had Iron Man. Anyway, what you had here was two of the most popular franchises owned by Marvel, Spider-Man and the X-Men, actually being owned and operated by Sony. And while they had plenty of missteps along the way, you know, like not having cool X-Men in the X-Men movies, still,
Gambit.
I think you owe a lot.
Gambit's the one missing.
Gambit's a problem there. You cast James Marsden as Cyclops, which just a handsome son of a gun, and then you make Cyclops just such a
wasn't Fraser Beast?
Kelsey Grammer was Beast in one iteration of them, although an unnamed actor in a cameo actually plays Hank McCoy on the television when Wolverine is in the bar with Rogue, which makes no sense at all. But either way, they were there, and then Hank McCoy is on the television.
That's an amazing
Connor,
rant.
How did you spend your lockout?
Hi, Connor. What did you do when you were in high school?
Let me guess. Watch movies?
I was mostly told to leave wherever I was in high school. There's a lot of that and a lot of bench sitting. Anyway, did you guys want to talk about other things or what?
We can, I mean, I don't know what the hell
have
happened.
Have we been on air this whole time?
Yes, this whole time, on air.
Weird.
By the way, Connor, I was listening last night. Connor was doing the game with Len. They're doing it together again tonight, so Tyler's going to do pre and post starting at 6:30. I didn't know you guys were doing tonight as well. I don't know what the hell happened last night. I mean, forget about what happened to the momentum, Connor. It's like, come home with momentum. You played great in New York. And, how did that happen last night?
Well, it's like Vin always said, right? You know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. At least I think that's a Vin Scully quote. Mm-hmm. If not, it should be. And Dylan just, you know, they keyed him up. I mean, this is a Boston offense that has really been stroking pretty well over the last week and a half or so. Trevor Story's a reinvigorated guy. He's actually found where the barrel is on the bat and applied that to the baseball with pretty regular appearances. I think, too, with Dylan, he was around the center of the strike zone a lot. He can put the ball where he wants to this year, and it's wild. You know, you look at Nick Pivetta, the guy who started last night for the Red Sox, who's largely been, you know, okay, and you look at Dylan and that win-loss record, 3-4 for Pivetta, now 4-2 for Cease. The ERA is very similar, and yet those two guys couldn't have gotten to those final numbers for what they are, in any different manner, right? I mean, I think you would still put odds, pretty decent odds, on Dylan Cease making a run for an AL Cy Young, given how good he is. I think that he just didn't have much last night. You know, a couple of fastballs got keyed up. Kike Hernandez, he's sneaky. When he looks for that first pitch fastball and gets it on the inside third, he can really pull the thing, and he did against Cease last night. Story got a roller of a breaking ball, you know, something it's right there down the pipe. And the rest of the night just went terribly for the White Sox. I think one thing you can look for tonight, this team, if nothing else, has been able to take unfortunate, you know, circumstances, a terrible loss to Cleveland, you know, a couple of weeks ago where they came back. They've put those away and come back and taken care of business. And Lucas Giolito's the right guy on the bump to do it tonight. He's allowed three or fewer in each of his six starts.
Connor, the Sox are 28th in runs scored in Major League Baseball. How do they fix that?
They need to walk more. We talked with Rick Hahn about this when he sat down before the game with White Sox beat reporters yesterday. And largely dismissed, but that doesn't take into account the understanding that he had that his offense needs to walk more. There's a lot of back of the baseball card here. Yasmani Grandal is one of those guys. Yoan Moncada's in a really rough start to his season. These guys need to be on base more. We were talking a lot just in the clubhouse beforehand with some beat writers about a few things. In order to score more runs in an offensive environment like this, two things can help you. One is walking. and the other is running the bases well. And the White Sox have actually, you know, you look around baseball, you look around, you know, to the north side, you see some places where you've got some mistakes on the base pass. Not just things that cost you an out there, but also cost you 90 feet. What the White Sox did, I think mostly for the month of May, and definitely in their two series against the Yankees, despite how badly the first one went, they took the extra 90 feet wherever they could. And they did so against the Royals, too. That helped a series win there. That helped a series win in New York. I think you got to be attentive to those things. But, Chris, the larger force here is just being on base more. And for the White Sox, you know, they have hit the ball hard. But in order to be on base, it's got to be walks. So I look for that to kick up here in the next month or so. That's going to be important for them.
If you look at the bullpen, they've had a rough go the last few outings that they've had to go out there. If their pitcher isn't going, you know, seven innings, or if Cease isn't striking out 12 dudes or whatever it is, does this team have a bullpen problem?
I don't think so. Where would you point to some of the issues that the Sox bullpen got a little weird? I mean, the 0-2 pitch that Graveman gave to Aaron Judge, I mean, that's, you know, it's Aaron Judge. It's on the inside third, and Aaron Judge does Aaron Judge things. They've given up some big leads, Adam. That's true. I think, though, when you look from the 30,000-foot view, at least the way I see it, Liam Hendricks pitched most of this, you know, this first run of the season with one pitch. Now he's got that slider working. Now he has that curveball working a little bit more. And, you know, to be quite honest, to have the success he did have while just throwing a fastball is kind of impressive. It's not how you wanted the guy to get there, I don't think. I don't think they have a bullpen problem. I think they've got a bullpen that's been asked to hold too many close leads. I mean, the White Sox, I think it's 12 of their last 13 wins have come by three or fewer runs. The one outstanding one there being the 5-0 shutout against New York on Sunday night. That's just a lot of times you're asking a unit to go out there and perform with the thinnest of margins. I think that makes us feel... I think that makes us feel like it might be worse than it is.
You nailed it. It's those margins. There's just no room for error for these guys. It's like, you know, when, wow, boy, what happened when Craig Kimbrel went over? Well, all of a sudden, Craig Kimbrel couldn't get any secondaries, anything close to the plate or over the plate. And when guys can just sit dead red and then your margin for error is so slim, like, it is hard for them to succeed. So, maybe you're right, Connor, that like the best thing to take away is that Liam's still been pretty good, and he was basically doing it with one pitch. The other stuff comes into form, and then you should see more of a lockdown Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I don't mean to say, you know, that this team, it's a 500 team right now. You know what I mean? Like the Twins finally lost today, and not sure how that happened, but they did.
They had a lead, and they blew it, actually.
They did. Yeah. I know. It's wild,
isn't
it?
Thank God.
I think they'd won six in a row.
They did, yeah.
This White Sox team isn't, you know, I don't mean to say everything's fine, it'll turn around. But I think there's a pretty clear difference between a 500 team that is just, you know, barely getting by versus a 500 team like the White Sox are right now. Last year, they had a lot of these same pieces. They were a damn good baseball team. This year, the issues at hand are at the very least pretty obvious. And there's a couple of different foundations that should imply the White Sox are ready to turn some things around. Doesn't mean they will. Just means more often than not, they should. That's up to the talent on the field. That's up to the guys in the clubhouse. It's up to the coaching staff to make sure it does happen. But the building blocks, you know, are there. And that's a lot more than a few other teams can say right now.
We getting this game in tonight?
There's a window, Carm. There's always
a window.
When a team doesn't come back into town, there's always a window.
I love it.
Hey, Connor, before we let you go, last night we talked about the new Top Gun movie coming out, and we didn't get a chance to have a little crosstalk with you before White Sox baseball begun. Your thoughts, Top Gun Maverick, you looking forward to it?
You know, I must have, other than Empire Strikes Back, I think Top Gun is the movie I've seen most in my life. I spent, you know, like every Saturday, we'd go over to my Uncle David's house with the sound system and everything. My brother and I would watch Top Gun start to finish probably two times every Saturday for the better part of 12 years. Like, it's what we did, you know, the whole thing. Good morning, Scott. That's the first line of the movie. Yeah. I could basically do the first 25 minutes of dialogue for you.
I love it.
I expect nothing from Top Gun Maverick, and I couldn't be more excited to go see it.
But the reviews look great. Reviews like, are they?
I've been avoiding it.
Everyone is loving this movie.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic news. Yeah. Really, the only thing I know about it, and I really wanted to go into this one cold, right? Like, I for a lot of other movies, you know, the stuff I really nerded out about as a kid, I like to read as much as I can. No spoilers, but then I'll go to the film. This one, I like Miles Teller. I love that the, you know, Kelly McGillis isn't in the movie, correct, as far as we know.
Well, yeah.
And then the Jennifer Connelly is Penny Benjamin, you know, from like when he's getting chewed out by the Admiral, one Admiral's daughter, and Goose with Penny Benjamin.
Penny Benjamin. And you, smart ass.
Yeah, right. And you.
I love it. Like, well, and I just hope we get like a sweaty Tom Cruise saying at some point, I'm going to take a shower. If we get that, all will be good in the
there
world.
There has to be. Have you ever rooted to see a volleyball scene more in your life, Carm?
Never, ever. There better be a damn good volleyball scene.
Don't they show it in the trailer?
Oh, is there? I hope.
Oh, do they? Oh, I haven't even seen the trailer.
I cannot
wait. I've seen one.
They better be playing. Who plays sand volleyball in 100-degree weather in jeans?
An acid-washed jeans.
It's
a different time back.
Fighter pilots. That's who does it.
Guys. It was the 80s.
Can't wait. Connor, thanks. We'll be listening tonight, buddy.
All right, boys.
See ya. There's Connor Brighton. He's doing the game with Len. Tyler is doing pre and post. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
We're staying on all the way till 6:30. Carmen Black Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie. Everybody's back in their normal time slot tomorrow. So we get you. We're going to roll into the Memorial Day weekend already here, boys.
Hell yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, summer comes and goes it so does. Quickly. Yeah, like, you got to get out now and experience the light staying up late. And like,
I like it for like a month. And I want football season.
The sun's going to start going
down. I want football season. I like a month of this and then get me to football season.
What is wrong with you? You're crazy.
I like football season.
No, summer's the best.
Yeah, summer's great.
The entirety of the summer.
Summer's fine.
It is depressing how quick it goes.
Yeah.
And like, we're, you know, in a month, we're going to be, the days will be getting shorter already.
That's my point.
Okay. I've got, look
it up now.
I got 5 minutes to bone pick with you guys. Yes, I do.
I want you to pick our bone.
You summer guys and you sun guys and you, oh, it's lighter out. It happens every year.
I know.
Every year. Oh, there's more sun tonight. Guess what's going to happen next year? Oh, there's more sun tonight. Guess what's going to happen the year after that? Oh, there's more sun. Guess what's going to happen next year, Carm? There's going to be another summer.
But I like those parts
unless
of
we
the
get
year.
Nuclear That's, winter or something like that.
No, we don't.
Which
want
is,
that.
Yeah, you never know. But I'm telling you, you guys and you're all the. Oh, my God. I got home and it was 8 o'clock and
Why
the sun
are you
was
yelling?
Out. Because it's. To me, it's awful. It's awful. All
but
of
wait,
it's
but,
awful.
But what's awful?
It's awful. It's awful conversation. I'm sorry. This guy's, yeah, he's seen my hand. He's putting my hand up too. He doesn't like it either.
No, he doesn't want to hear, listen to you anymore. So he kept walking.
Good.
We all feel better when the sun's up longer. That's
sure.
That's a
awesome.
Huge, that's a proven scientific fact.
I understand that. But you know what's going to happen next year? The same thing.
I know, but
it's
I don't want to wait all the way till
it's going to be light
year.
For a little bit, and then it's going to be dark for a little bit, and then summer's going to happen, and then you know what's going to happen after summer, Carm? Fall.
Come November 15th, it'll be dark at 4:15.
You know what comes like, after that? Christmas. And then guess what?
The worst
snow
part
melt.
Of the year.
The snow will melt. Spring. And then after that, how
no,
about this?
We don't have spring here.
How about I wow you guys for a second?
We don't do spring
around
anymore.
This time next year. Guess what? We'll have summer.
So, okay, when you're at home, do you ever think to yourself, "Man, I annoy myself"?
No, I don't. Because I just say it.
No,
because I just get to say it to my wife.
I know it annoys her.
I know it does.
Poor Whitney.
I was with her last weekend. She was annoyed.
That poor woman.
What did we say at one point? What did I say at one point? I go, if everything is a bit, nothing is a bit.
Yeah, the hardest eye roll possible.
She gave probably you. Like, oy vey. Let's go. Chase has been wanting to talk Zach from Levine.
Chase and his Trubisky takes.
Get out of here, Chase.
Chase and his Trubisky takes.
Don't start, Chase. All right.
Let's put him on. He's been waiting.
Still laughing.
Go ahead, Chase.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up,
Chase? Are you speaking into the phone?
Chase,
what's
get
going
off the
on
speaker
here?
Phone.
Let's go.
Come on, man.
Look alive. This is prime time here.
Come on. Hey, Abdallah,
this isn't
man.
The Black and Abdallah hours. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Prime time. You got to be ready to go.
I've been ready. Hey,
okay.
hey. I got one for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all, the Child's Play?
What did he say?
Child's Play.
Child's Play.
Child's Play. The trilogy.
Get out of here.
Stop it.
No, but I was just talking about Zach Needle. That's what I was concerned. Okay, remember I told you guys about Zach Needle?
Yeah. Talk to us about it, yeah.
Yeah, but I was just saying that worst case, I think I told y'all guys just the other day that nobody's talked about his knee because, everybody's. Well, I'm just saying that that's the X factor is his knee.
Okay.
Because let's say that the Bulls do, because remember we were saying worst case scenario, he leaves, but teams ain't thinking about this. You sign him to that max contract, and yet, what if that knee flares up again around this time next season? Or because as you get old, that knee gets worse. It doesn't get better.
It could always get worse.
You got a max, and you get as you get older, the knee gets worse, and then you become James Harden 2.0. So that's the thing that I worry about is like Derrick Rose all over again. Is that you got a max money to a guy who has a bad knee, and that's a scary situation. So that's the only thing that I worry about giving Zach the max deal. Is, and I'm surprised teams aren't alarmed about that. Is his knee?
He hasn't had two cat. I wouldn't compare it to Derek because Derek had two catastrophic injuries. Now, is it problematic? Look, he had a recurrence of some inflammation and some pain on a reconstructed knee. That's not that odd, and a procedure done on it could mean that he'll be fine for years to come. There's always risk, Chase, to some degree. I know what you're saying, but the Bulls have been pretty clear. And I don't think they're blowing smoke. They want Zach back. You've got the owner. You've got the general manager. You're the president of basketball operations all on record being like, no, we value Zach LaVine. We want him back. Chase, thanks as always for calling, buddy.
They've also done everything that they can control up until this point to make him happy.
Yes, exactly. They went out and did things last offseason and at the trade deadline to say to Zach, look, we'll build something here. We'll get some star players. And we'll build. I think they want him.
If he ends up walking for a 4-year deal, it's not on the Bulls. It's not their fault. You see what I'm saying? Like they've done everything they could.
Agreed.
To this point.
Steven in Crystal Lake. What up, Steve?
Hey, I got a pretty solid horror trilogy.
Go.
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh.
Hannibal, Red Dragon.
Yeah, those are good.
That's pretty good.
Never saw Red Dragon.
It's very good.
It is. Yeah.
Steven, it's a good call. It's dark.
James has a good one.
It's very good. Like, is that the one where the dragon tattoo on the back?
Correct. Ray Fiennes is very good.
Yeah.
That's like more the build up to Hannibal becoming. It's more about the other guy. It's not as much Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
James, quickly in Wheeling, go ahead.
Boys, how are we doing today?
What's up?
What's up, man?
James!
Hey, one of the best sports ones ever. The Mighty Ducks, baby. D1, D2, D3.
D3.
Wait, I don't know. Those after.
And then I was thinking while I was on hold, the Oceans as well.
Those are good. I thought the third one kind of stunk. Thanks, James. I thought the Ocean's 13 was
I love
kinda,
Mighty Ducks movies.
The third Mighty Ducks, they're in college,
they're
right?
They're in college, yeah. They play the preppy college team.
That one's not that great.
No, the first one's great.
What's the one where D2? They play like Iceland
or
something
weird?
That's
D2. That's D2, the Mighty Ducks. The D2, the Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Junior Olympics.
You're sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Get ice cream with the enemy.
Bash Bros, come on.
You get bonus Waddle and Sylvie, which is... Carmen and Black and Abdallah coming up. We go to White Sox pregame with Tyler at 6:30. So don't go anywhere. The fun continues when we come back.